If you will, open your Bibles with me today to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'm going to read verses 17 through 22. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. In these verses that we've just read, we have five generations: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's two sons. What a heritage! What a heritage of men who believed God. But I want to call our attention this morning, especially to the words in verse 21. Where we read about Jacob by faith, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. He blessed both the sons of Joseph. Robert Hawker, in one of his devotionals this past week, spoke of right hand blessings and left hand blessings. And he was commenting on Proverbs, a verse in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 16, which tells us length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Now the hands in that verse are the hands of wisdom. And we know that in Proverbs, wisdom is personified. That is, it speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is both the power and the wisdom of God. His right hand blessings, life evermore, even life everlasting. His left hand blessings, including all temporal good. And Robert Hawker said the left hand blessings include afflictions, sorrow, bereaving providences, sickness, and the like. Even these left-hand blessings are wisdom's appointments and will bring with them his or her blessings. And I thought about the verse in Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10 where God told the prophet, "Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him." Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Always, always, when receiving right-hand blessings, it shall be well with him. And in receiving left-hand blessings, it shall be well with him. It's always well with the righteous. Say ye to the righteous. Those we know who are made righteous by the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are declared righteous, justified by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. His obedience being imputed unto everyone that believeth. But this made me think of Jacob. Jacob, when he blessed the two sons of Joseph, he crossed his hands. And I turn to Genesis chapter 48, and I want you to turn there with me now. Genesis chapter 48. And I have two thoughts that I want to bring to us today concerning right hand and left hand blessings. Two thoughts. Genesis chapter 48. The first thought that I want to remind us of is to see that Joseph took his two sons to the place of blessing. He took his two sons to the place of blessings. In verse 1 and 2 of chapter 48, we read, "And it came to pass after these things." Now, the "these things," we won't take the time, but in the chapter before, the verses just before this, Jacob had called his son Joseph out to him. Remember, Joseph, he's the prime minister of Egypt. He's a very busy man, very important man. But Jacob called him out to him to where he was living and made him swear, put his hand under his thigh and made him swear that when he died, he knew his death was near, that Joseph would make sure he was not buried, his bones were not buried there in Egypt, but that they were carried back to the land of Canaan and buried in that cave where Abraham and Isaac's bones were also buried. Verses 1 and 2 we read, "And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father's sick." He's close to death. He's sick. "And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed." It was with much difficulty that Jacob now was able even to set up in bed. He was 130 years old when he came into Egypt. Jacob was 130 years old when he came into Egypt, and now 17 years had passed. He's 147 years of age, and by our standards, we would say that's a long, long life. But in reality, the same words that Jacob spoke to Pharaoh when he first came into Egypt, he could still say. When he first came down into Egypt, Joseph presented his father Jacob to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" And Jacob responded like this, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage." And remember, that's true of every person. Our life in this world is just a pilgrimage. We're just passing through. Everything in this world is temporal. Our life and everything around us is temporal. And Jacob recognized that his life in this world had been a pilgrimage and was a pilgrimage. And he told Pharaoh at that time, are 130 years. He was 130 years of age when he first came into Egypt. And he went on to say, "Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been." Now, he could still say the same thing about the years of his life, even though he was 17 years older. "Few and evil have been the days of my life." Few in comparison to the years of his grandfather, Abraham, who lived to be 175 years old, and few in comparison to the years of his father, Isaac, who lived to be 180 years old. And listen, few in comparison to the years even of Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years of age. Few are the days of our life in this world in comparison to eternity's days, or I should say, eternity's day. No matter how long you or I live in this world, the days of our pilgrimage here are going to be few in comparison to all eternity. Can you imagine that? A day that never ends. Never ends. Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, would be in their 20s. The point I'm making is that Joseph took, that's what the word says here in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick, and he took. Here's a father. And he took his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, with him that they might be blessed by their grandfather, Jacob. Now, Joseph's sons at this time would be in their 20s. They would be in their 20s because they were born to Joseph before Jacob came into Egypt. We know that. And yet, when you read, if you look down in verse 12, when you read these verses, we almost, without exception, I suppose, visualize these two young men as two lads of maybe 12 years old or something like that, 6 or 7 years of age. In verse 12, we read, and Joseph brought them out, that is, Manasseh and Ephraim, he brought his two sons out from between his knees, that is, between Jacob's knees. He brought his two sons out between his knees, and lo, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Now, the reason we think that they were younger than they really were, is because we fail to realize that out of respect to their grandfather, and Joseph out of respect to his father, they were on their knees. Jacob is in the bed, they are on their knees, and their face is toward the ground. But these were young men. These were young men in their 20s, as I said. But the lesson, the point I want to make, is a very simple point, but a very important point. And that is in the fact that Joseph took his two sons, his children, to the place where they were to be blessed. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every man who says that the Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that every man would say the same words that Joshua said when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Fathers, men are the head of the family. That's God's order. And we're living in a time, it's no different from any other time in many ways, but in some ways we're living in a very degenerate, and the depravity of man is being flaunted in our nation and in our time like maybe at no other time. The husband, he's the head of the wife. He's the head of the family. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every father would determine by the grace of God to always take his children, his sons, his daughters, to the place where they might be blessed, and to never, ever take them into a place where there surely would never be any blessing. A place of blessing where they might hear the word of God, where they might hear God's word. Parents are very particular, and rightly so, about having their children in school, that they might learn, that they might be educated for this world. But what about the world to come? What about the world that is an eternal world? To have our children in the place where they might be blessed, where the word of God is proclaimed, and where many times God is pleased to call out his elect. The scripture still says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's God's word, and what a responsibility. I think sometimes because maybe of my age, but I think sometimes of the great responsibility of young men, and there's a bunch of young men here this morning, and I encourage you to think about these things. First of all, pray that God will give you a godly wife, a wife who believes the word of God in the place of the woman according to God's word, that God will give you a godly wife to be the mother of your children. And those of you young men here who have children already, what a response, what a blessing. What a blessing to have children. Children are an heritage of the Lord, the scripture says. What a blessing. But what a responsibility. What a tremendous responsibility. And you don't get a second chance. You don't get to repeat. Whatever you do today, in the next few years, as you are raising up your children, training up your children, educating them both for this world and the world to come, you'll never have another opportunity. And I read this many years ago, and I think I still can quote it, but one old preacher said, I'd rather my children learn their ABCs in heaven than to read Greek and Hebrew in hell. Amen. There's no reason why children may not have a good education, a formal education in this world, but it should not deter from a spiritual education. That's just a very simple truth. But I want us to go on to my second thought, my last thought. Jacob blessed. That's what the scriptures tells us there in Hebrews. By faith, Jacob, when a dying, blessed the two sons of Joseph, leaning upon his staff. And I looked at this chapter and I thought, well, there's two ways. There's two ways that Jacob blessed Joseph's two sons. Number one, he blessed them with his testimony. Jacob blessed these two boys. He was talking to Joseph, but they were there. They heard these two young men. They heard what he was saying. And I'm convinced that, first of all, Jacob blessed them with his testimony. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 3, they heard him testify to God's grace. Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting covenant. They heard Jacob testify to God's grace. When this took place, we won't go back there, but it's recorded in Genesis chapter 28. But Jacob was fleeing. He was running. He had deceived his father. Remember how he made up like he was his brother, went in and told his father that he was his brother. He had deceived his father. He was running. He was fleeing. He had deceived his brother, Esau, as well. And there he was out in the middle of nowhere, so to speak. I mean, nowhere. He had to use a stone for a pillow. That's pretty well nowhere, right? If you're in a place where the only thing you can find for a pillow is a stone, he's out in the middle of nowhere. Probably the only thing he had was the clothes on his back. That's probably all he had. And yet God appeared unto him. There was no worthiness on his part. There was no merit on his part. No, it was God's sovereign grace. God appeared unto him. And God said, this is what I will do. God didn't say, now I want you to do this. Or will you pretty please do this? No. God appeared and said, this is what I will do, Jacob. The blessings are free. their free grace blessings. He's sleeping out under the stars, and God appeared to him and told him what he would do. Now, keep your place there, but look over a few pages into the book of Deuteronomy. And this kind of emphasizes what I'm saying here, that they heard him testify to God's grace. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 32, in verse 9, Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 9, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance." Now notice this. He found him. Now who found who? Someone said, "Well, I found the Lord." He wasn't lost. No. The Lord found Jacob. And where was he? In a waste, howling wilderness. That's who found who. So the first thing that I see here in the testimony that these men heard, they were blessed in hearing Jacob's testimony of the grace of God. This was the God of all grace. And that's one of his titles, isn't it? The God of all grace. And this was the God of all grace appearing unto Jacob, who had said, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." This blessing, first of all, was a blessing by hearing Jacob's testimony of the grace of God. Number two, they heard him testify to God's goodness. Look in verse 11. Genesis chapter 48 and verse 11. They heard Jacob testify of God's goodness. "And Israel," that is Jacob, "said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face. And lo, God has showed me also thy seed." Jacob, we know, had lived for years, believing that his son Joseph had been destroyed, had been killed by a wild beast. And he said, "I never thought that I would live or that I would see you again. But the goodness of the Lord is now I'm seeing you and your sons, your seed. Few and evil have been the days of my pilgrimage." He lived for years believing that Joseph had been destroyed by wild animals. "I never thought to see your face." I lived for years. Remember at one time he said he would never be comforted. The reason that Joseph was so special unto Jacob is because Joseph was the son of the woman that he loved and served 7 years for, Rachel, her first son. And many say Jacob's legitimate wife, his first wife, Rachel, his legitimate wife. And Joseph was so special, and yet he was taken away. He was taken away. What am I talking about? Left-hand blessings, sorrows, afflictions. He was taken away. And yet, these two young men heard their grandfather testify of God's goodness. "I never thought I'd ever see your face again, Joseph. And praise God, I'm looking at you, and here are your two sons." God's goodness. You know, in that Psalm 107, four times, the psalmist said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men." There's just something about our nature. We can grumble, we can murmur, we can complain. We do that quite easily, don't we? And usually do a pretty good job at it. But oh, to praise God for his goodness. Jacob did. For his goodness. And these two young men, they heard their grandfather testify to God's good. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. What if they'd heard their grandfather complaining and moaning and murmuring and of all of the hard providences that he had experienced in this life? Oh, no. They were blessed in hearing their grandfather Jacob tell about the grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. The gospel is preached in all the world. And they were blessed in hearing their grandfather testify of the goodness of God. And then number three, they heard him testify to God's faithfulness. Notice in verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God, now notice this, which fed me all my life long unto this day. He testified to God's goodness. The word, the English word there, fed, comes from a Hebrew root word, which literally means to tend a flock. And this verse could have been, and some people believe maybe would have been better translated, the God which shepherded me all my life long unto this day. Now, Jacob was a shepherd. He knew something about shepherding sheep. The God that shepherded me. Yeah, he fed me. No doubt about that. The shepherd looks out and finds pasture for his sheep. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd feeds his sheep, but he does much more than that. He directs his sheep. And all our life, as we go through this world, our pilgrimage, we need to recognize who is directing our steps. Don't you love the words of that hymn of Fanny Crosby's? All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? What more could I want than to have God as my shepherd to feed me, to pasture me, to lead me, to guide me? Yes, to correct me when I need it. And many times we do need correction, don't we? And God is faithful to chasten us, to discipline us, and to guide us through this world. They heard their grandfather testify to God's faithfulness. Before Sunday school, Wenna was playing the piano, and she played several hymns, but she started playing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Oh, God, my Father. Oh, don't you love that hymn? Don't you love to think about the faithfulness of God? You're God if you know Christ this morning. He's a faithful God. And then they heard him testify to God's redemption. And this maybe is the most important of all. In verse 16, he goes on there, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Now you notice that word angel, that's not a created angel. That is the angel of the covenant. That is the eternal Son of God who in the Old Testament appeared many times as an angel. When the Lord appeared to him, you remember I mentioned him sleeping out under the stars. He dreamed a dream, and in his dream he saw a ladder. A ladder set up. It was set up on the earth, but it reached all the way to heaven, and angels were ascending and descending upon that ladder. And that was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he became a man. He was set up here upon the earth, but he is the way into heaven, the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. He redeemed me from all evil. No doubt from many evils in this world, the Lord has redeemed us and kept us But the redemption that we're talking about is the worst of all evils, and that is the evil of sin. The greatest evil. The angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, redeemed him from sin's power, from sin's guilt, from sin's punishment, and then in just a few days, from sin's presence, because he would be with the Lord. So that's the first way. I said there are two ways I want to mention that he blessed the two sons of Joseph. He blessed them, first of all, with his testimony. Number two, he blessed them, and this is what the verse in Hebrews is speaking of. He laid his hands on them and pronounced God's blessing. Now, Jacob could not bless anyone. You know, the people go to the priest and go to the preacher and they give him a blessing. He has no blessing to give. God gives the blessing. The blessing comes from God. So all Jacob could do was lay his hands on the heads of these two men and pronounce God's blessings upon them. But Jacob was almost blind, if he was not already completely blind. And so Joseph knew that when his dad would bless his two sons, he would put his right hand out, he'd put his left hand out. So Joseph made sure that here's Manasseh over here. He's the firstborn. When my dad puts his hand out, he'll naturally put it on the head of this son. And when he puts his left hand out, it'll go upon the head of this son. But what Joseph did not realize until it happened is Jacob crossed his hands. He crossed his hands. And Joseph wasn't happy with that. If you notice, he was not happy with what he was doing. In verse 17, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, Ephraim was the youngest. It displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, "Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head." But his father refused and said, "I know it. I know what I'm doing." You see, Joseph wanted the blessing to go according to the order of birthright. But Jacob, according to the spirit of prophecy, laid his hand, his right hand, upon the younger. Now, when Israel was delivered, the nation of Israel was delivered from Egypt, they numbered all the different tribes, and this tribe of Ephraim was larger than the tribe of Manasseh, fulfilling this promise. But they were both blessed. Both the tribe of Ephraim and the tribe of Manasseh was blessed. Notice in verse 20, he blessed them that day, saying, "In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament tells us, now these blessings, you say, get to your point, preacher. Okay. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us that every child of God is blessed with all, A-L-L, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then he names some of these blessings, chosen in him before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blame before him, predestinated unto the adoption of children, made accepted in the beloved, redeemed through the blood, and our sins forgiven. all of these blessings, whether they're right-hand or left-hand blessings, they're all for all of God's children. Now, I want you to turn to one other place. If you go to Luke's Gospel, you know that there was a prophet, there's a priest, and there is a king. But who did the blessing? Did the king do the blessing? No. Did the prophet do the blessing? No. It was the work of the priest. On the great day of atonement, it was Aaron who came out and put the blessing of God upon the nation of Israel. Now, here in Luke chapter 24, here's the point I want to make. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back unto the Father, the scripture says he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was leaving this world, going back to the Father, after he had done the work of a priest, yes, and given himself, but he ever lives as our high priest. Amen. And the point that I want you to think about, that from that day until today, and until he comes again, his hands are still raised, blessing his people. The priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our great high priest, and he blesses his people. Day by day, we receive the blessings, both the right-hand blessings and the left-hand blessings. They all come to us from the same one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May the Lord bless this word. We want to say